We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Thursday, December the 5th, 2024. And thanks for listening to AFR. Tim here with Fred. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, y'all. Ain't it cold out there today, eh? See, I'm bilingual.
You are.
I speak American and Canadian.
American and Canadian. All right, Fred, how you doing, Chris?
Bonjour.
Chris Woodward. Yes. He's going full French on you there.
That's right.
All right, Fred Jackson, Chris Woodward, Tim Wildman, thank you for joining us today on the program. And listening to American Family Radio. Yeah, the weather
outside is frightful.
Is it really?
It's cold.
Okay, so I'm just looking at here the weather forecast. For Tupelo, Mississippi. What do we got here? Sorry to bog everybody down with this, but I wanted to make sure. So, 20 tonight.
Yeah.
Overnight.
Yeah.
And, when I look at that, I go, well, in Iowa, it's probably zero.
That's right. Huh? We're still warmer.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those nights. Make sure you got your tap covered outside there.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. 45 the high today where we are. Anyway, I can't stand cold weather. And so the Lord is testing me. Don't you think we're being tested here?
Chris? I'm glad to bear one another's burdens with you, sir. I'm not a fan of it either. You know, if it's like jacket weather during the day, that's fine. But when you have to go to bed wearing like sweats and a hoodie and whatever, that's just
wrong. That's just wrong. Well, listen, I will say this, ladies and gentlemen. It looks like to me next week we return to global warming.
We're pop back up.
Yes,
again.
We do. In the 60s, baby.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's where it needs to be.
That's where it needs to be in the wintertime.
Yeah.
All right. Christmas in the 60s. That's like Bing Crosby sang about that, didn't he?
Yeah. I'll have a rainy Christmas.
Hawaii. An Hawaiian Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. On some sad news, tragic news, the story yesterday we talked about what happened in New York City with the CEO of United Healthcare. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, the weather is not stopping New York investigators, New York City investigators, I should say. The masked gunman who stalked and killed the leader of one of the largest U.S. health insurance companies on a Manhattan sidewalk used ammunition emblazoned with the words deny, defend, and depose, a law enforcement official said today in an AP story that we have on our website. So new evidence in this case, apparently the shooter may have left some messages there. Leading people to believe that the insurance guy was targeted specifically because of things insurance companies may do to deny people of a claim.
Okay. In case you missed it yesterday about this time, well, yesterday morning in New York City, the CEO of United Healthcare, what's the gentleman's name?
Brian Thompson, 50 years old.
50 years old. He was leaving his hotel.
Mm-hmm.
He was in New York City for a meeting. That's not the home offices of United Healthcare. And when he exited the lobby, someone shot him.
Yes.
And killed him. He was basically executed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then the manhunt began, to find who the killer was and what the, because they had video footage of him.
There's video out there of the actual shooting. Mr. Thompson had left his hotel, was walking down the sidewalk, and the video is showing this shooter who seems to have a hooded jacket on.
Right.
Then beginning to open fire. In fact, we're just watching it right now on several of the networks. They're playing it. So
he was targeted.
There is no question about it.
It wasn't a robbery. Wasn't a random killing.
No. Here's what we know. The police have been giving his briefings. They talked to, I think it was a homeless man who was in that area overnight. He says the shooter was out there all night waiting. We also know that the shooter went into a nearby Starbucks coffee shop. I guess it's open 24 hours a day. And the police have been able to retrieve some more video from there. But also, apparently, the gunman left behind, I'm not sure, a coffee cup or a napkin that he put in the garbage. They are going to look at that for DNA evidence. Also, just before coming into the studio, they have now found a hotel where the gunman stayed. And so they're searching that that room in that hotel. Mm-hmm. So they're confident they're narrowing this down to probably a particular individual. Mm-hmm. As we were saying, the fact that the casings on these shells had these words, deny, defend, and depose. There is a book by that name, or close to those words, that is all about people disgruntled with insurance companies over being denied claims. So that is out there this morning. There is also some reports in some media that Mr. Thompson was perhaps part of an investigation of insider trading. In other words, he was benefiting from the values of the stocks in United Healthcare. That is unconfirmed. So there's just stuff beginning to come out there, but the police are growing more confident they are going to be able to find the shooter.
Now, according to his widow, now widow, sadly.
Yes.
He had mentioned to her that he had received some threats.
That is correct.
So,
There is a $10,000 reward for information leading to an arrest and conviction. That could cause someone to come forward today.
Well, when this first happened, I think a lot of people thought what I thought. This is whoever killed him was really angry, really upset about being denied some kind of claim.
Yes.
And so, but however, then you begin to wonder, well, is the individual who killed him, is that the person who is angry and upset? Or was this a hired assassin? Mm-hmm. We don't know that yet, right?
Yeah. Or a relative of someone who was denied a claim or whatever the case may be.
But anyway, I was kind of looking at the picture. So he shot him from behind.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Walking down the street.
Yes.
I was kind of surprised to learn that he didn't have personal security.
Yeah.
Evidently.
That's true.
Well, especially with his wife telling us that he has received threats.
Yeah.
That you would think a man, CEO of this huge company,
yes,
would have some security.
Yes, would have personal security.
Yeah. I'm surprised the video has aired as many times as it has. Oftentimes, news outlets will do something once, maybe twice, and they're like, this is too graphic, we're going to move on. But that video of him being murdered has been on every network pretty much all day for 24 hours.
Yeah.
So I assume this is, as I said, it's a manhunt.
Yes.
And assuming it's a man, still called a manhunt, but this is going to be involving, I guess, the FBI, New York City Police, and others.
Very much so.
I would imagine if you're the head of another insurance company today,
you're getting protection, I bet.
Yeah. I say FBI. I don't know. Is the FBI brought in on something like this?
Or I have not seen that anywhere.
Is this New York City Police?
New York City Police so far.
Yeah, a lot of people featured in our coverage thus far on AFN.net tend to be local PD people, including their chief of detectives, a guy by the name of Joseph Kinney.
Yeah, you're right. This has to put other insurance CEOs and executives on high alert.
You hear stories every now and then where frustrations are growing over coverage being denied for one reason or the other. And insurance companies are known for having fairly large bank accounts.
Let me ask you this. These words that were written on the casings, is that what you said?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so they would they have been handwritten with a pen?
I would say the outside casings, I'm not sure how he did it.
For those who don't understand the gun world, for example, just trying to make, Okay, so the bullet inside the casing.
Yes.
Okay, so the casing is the, was it plastic mostly or what it is?
No, the casings would be metal.
Metal, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but somebody wrote on there?
Yes.
With a pen?
That's what the police are saying, yes. Yeah. And obviously very clearly, deny, defend, depose.
Okay, so if that's true, that was whoever the shooter was who wrote those words were doing so to say to the public,
yes,
this is why I did it, because they denied a claim
mm-hmm.
that was, in their minds, legitimate, right?
Which I'm sure authorities will be cross-checking any claims that United Healthcare has denied in recent days.
Yeah.
Yeah, my guess is they'll probably bring in the FBI,
mm-hmm.
and they'll catch this person probably within the next 48 hours, I would suspect.
Yes.
It was a 9mm that he used, according to authorities, because investigators say they recovered several 9mm shell casings from outside the hotel, along with a cell phone from the alleyway through which the shooter fled.
Okay, there's a photograph of the shooter, of the suspect, on the website, on Fox News.
Yes.
And is this him ordering at Starbucks? Is that what that is? It looks like
there are a couple of webcam shots. I believe that looks like a shot from inside a store.
If that's him, even though half his face is covered with a mask, he's going to be identifiable.
Mm-hmm.
Because the upper half of his nose and his eyes are clear,
yes,
to be seen, and his stature, and he's a white fella.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna catch this.
It is inside the Starbucks, according to NYPD.
Yeah, they're gonna catch him in the next, as I say, the next probably 24, 48 hours.
Yeah,
would be my guess.
Well, especially if they have found the room, the hotel room where he was staying, the shooter.
But if he checked in under his name.
He had to give a credit card
in order
to get the room. So,
yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Again, the guy who was killed was the CEO of United Healthcare.
Yeah.
Right. The insurance side.
And they are the biggest Medicare Advantage supplier out there in the country.
What does that mean for those who don't know?
Well, when you go to get on Medicare, you can go the Advantage route or the supplement route to make up that 20% or so that Medicare doesn't cover in charges. And so as far as the Advantage plans go, they are the biggest in the country of supplying those.
Gotcha.
That coverage.
Gotcha. What's the next story, Chris?
Well, from one shooting investigation to another, Acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe is testifying today before members of a House task force talking about the assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. That shooting attempt occurred in mid-July. We are almost 6 months after that attempt, and we're still talking about how they failed, they messed up, people need to be held accountable. I don't know that we're going to get anything new out of this today, but it is shocking that we're still talking about this and really nothing has happened beyond somebody resigning.
Yeah, well, what happened, if you remember back, the head of the Secret Service resigned.
Yes.
I've forgotten
within
her name.
Days.
Huh?
Within days.
So there was some accountability to the failure to protect former President Trump there, but there was never any accountability that I'm aware of for the people on the ground
mm-hmm.
who had responsibility for protecting former President Trump.
Yeah, the acting director who is up before a hearing right now, he admits that it was a colossal failure. And one of the things is that he is pointing the finger at is the team, the advanced team that goes in and surveys the site where, in this case, Donald Trump was going to be speaking on that Saturday. And they failed miserably in identifying possible places that a shooter could be. And we all have seen the pictures now. We're very familiar with this story. This shooter was able to get within 300 yards of candidate Donald Trump. And we all know that if Donald Trump had not turned his head mm-hmm. at that very second, instead of a bullet clipping his ear, it probably would have assassinated him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this the Secret Service. It was remember it was reported after this that the Secret Service, for lack of a better phrase, not fully staffed for that, but for protecting the former president. Remember they were using other people from other agencies. It was unbelievable to hear these kinds of stories. But
yes, pretty scary.
Yeah.
And that there was a lack of communication between local police who normally are involved with these events. They had different radio frequencies from the FBI. Everything that could go wrong went wrong.
All right. So I'm just going to tell you who I think is responsible. And I don't even know the person's name, and I'm glad I don't. But whoever was in charge of the on ground, whoever the number one point person was in charge of the on ground, protection of the president that day is a person that failed.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
They just, and again, I don't even know the person's name, but that's the person that failed in their job.
Yep.
Sorry
yep.
to say that, but they may be a fine professional many years in that, but I don't know who the person's name is, but that's the person that dropped the ball, so to speak. Nick.
Initially, they talked about the people in the Pittsburgh office were in charge of overseeing the protection that day.
Yeah. What's amazing to me is how you don't – okay, here you're having the rally. It's Butler, Pennsylvania. Here comes the president. I mean, so you're an hour before the rally. You know the president's going to come out and speak. You go out and you surveil, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, you would have been doing this days ahead of time, but how you don't go – you know, there's nobody protecting that building over there.
Yeah.
Or there's nobody on that roof.
Mm-hmm.
That's 300 yards away. Is that what it was or closer?
Within 300 yards. And they said there was nobody on the roof because the roof had too sharp a slant on it.
Well, they're stupid then because there was a person able to get on the roof even with that slant.
Exactly. And if it was a steep slant, then you have somebody looking at that roof.
That was the former Secret Service director. She's the one that resigned.
Who said
the roof was
too sharp a slant.
The pitch was too high or whatever like that. And you're going like, well, I guess it wasn't.
Apparently.
So somebody had a ladder. Yeah. A guy had a ladder, right?
Yeah.
And a backpack?
Yeah. And
by himself?
And we've seen that building. That roof did not have a sharp slant to it.
Yeah, that was a I didn't understand that answer at all.
Well,
but she resigned.
She did after she said she would not for several days, and then finally she resigned.
Anyway, I guess I don't know if President Trump. I guess he did not insist that his whoever was on the ground be fired or resigned.
No, in fact, the president had high praise for the unit that surrounded him, put him down right away out of harm's way. He's had a lot of praise for the Secret Service. But the problem was in the leadership that day, no question.
Yeah. I didn't, although it's an iconic picture, President Trump standing saying fight, fight, fight with his fist in the air.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that was very smart on his part because there could have been multiple shooters.
Yes.
And here they're trying to protect him, and he just decides to raise his 6'3" head up and say fight, fight, fight.
Right. The thing that gets me about the Secret Service, one of the things that gets me about this particular situation is we have to get like Secret Service agents that match the person you're trying to protect in height. Like Trump is a big
dude. Right, he has some 5'4" women.
Yeah, that's like me standing in front of Steve Jordahl going, I'll protect you. I mean, it's.
I know. I agree with you. And remember, tragically, one man lost his life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was shot and killed.
Yeah.
There were others injured there.
Yeah.
All right, next story.
Well, let's stick with Washington, D.C. for just a bit because Elon Musk.
We have to, Chris.
We are for
okay.
this one.
All right, go ahead.
It's going to be very efficient if we do. Because Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are expected to visit Capitol Hill this morning to meet with Republican lawmakers in both chambers of Congress to discuss ways to reduce waste in the federal government just weeks after the creation of the Trump-created Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. Now, I've got some audio here of Vivek Ramaswamy because there's been concern that, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, other entitlement programs might be cut. Ramaswamy says they're not going to cut those programs, but they are going to go after fraud in entitlement programs. Clip five.
That's a policy decision. That belongs to the voters, ultimately through the people they elect to Congress, for whether or not they're going to pass the laws that would or would not cut entitlements like Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security. Right now, there are hundreds of billions of dollars flowing out the door of all of those programs, ending up in the hands of people who, even under the statute, should not be receiving those payments.
A lot of waste, fraud, and abuse going on.
Good luck with that one.
Yes.
Cleaning up. I mean, I say that sarcastically, but cleaning up federal government waste and fraud is, I'm not sure that ship hasn't sailed.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, I applaud people for trying.
Well, they've targeted, they believe they can save $2 trillion. That's with a T. $2 trillion.
Who does? Elon Musk and...
Musk and Ramaswamy. Yes. Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa was interviewed this morning, just about an hour ago, on this. She says she's been working for 10 years on this idea of finding places to cut money. And she was asked, okay, give us an example of the kind of thing that you think that taxpayers' money can be saved. And her example was that only in the wake of COVID and still today, only 6% of the federal workforce there in the Virginia, D.C. area, only 6% of the federal workforce show up for work every day at those buildings. 6%. And she said, you got to do one of two things. You got to make these people come into work or... you've got to sell off these buildings, because she says the taxpayers are being charged $8 billion a year in rent and property taxes on those buildings that are, according to her figures, almost 95% empty.
Well, listen, the problem with that has developed over the decades with the United States federal government, you know, the money that's spent, because we're going into further debt every year because we're not bringing the income is not matching the expenditures.
Yeah.
And the waste and fraud is legendary.
Yep.
And I'm sure Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, they're going to continue to point some of this out. The problem is with the federal government, the taxpayer dollars are everyone's money and no one's money at the same time. In other words, when it's everyone's money and you have congressmen and senators who are authorizing the spending, they don't treat it as if it's their own personal bank account, because it's not. They don't feel it. They don't feel it when you go into debt and you have, what do you call it, deficit spending annually.
Yeah.
Now we're $35 trillion. But I'm sounding like Captain Doom here, but I'm just going to tell you, if I don't think there's any stopping that. I think that, as I said, the ship has sailed. I applaud Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy for offering their voluntary services to point these things out, and maybe they'll get the attention of Congress, and something will be done. I don't know. I don't know what President Trump's going to say about these things either. Because
he's kind of putting this plan together.
Okay.
One of the problems there are these so-called omnibus bills.
Yeah.
You remember Republicans down through the years? Let's cut funding to NPR.
Yeah.
Or let's cut funding to Planned Parenthood. The problem is they stick the funding for NPR and Planned Parenthood in these huge bills that include Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the problem.
I'm saying trying to downsize the United States federal government at this point is, I'll give you 5% chance of success.
If you aim for nothing, you're going to hit it, so you might as well try, even if it's a 5% chance.
But it's worth, what they're doing is worthwhile. I agree with that, but the American people I don't know if the American people would, once the if you had to cut back on certain things that the federal government does in their spending, somebody's going to feel the effects of that.
Oh, yeah.
And that particular constituency is going to start screaming to high heaven. And anyway, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. The cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. It's Thursday, December the 5th, 2024. Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward. And we're talking about, the top news stories of the day. And we were talking about Vivek Ramaswamy and former GOP candidate for president, and Elon Musk, the richest man in the world. Huh? Still is, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Even spend after billions, and you're still a billionaire.
I know. So they are on Capitol Hill, I guess, mm-hmm. today testifying. What does DOGE stand for?
Department of Government Efficiency.
So it's a department?
Well, it's Trump-created department.
Okay, but it's not an official compartment.
Kind of a task force.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so but they're trying to point out how the federal government can save money and how the federal government wastes money, right?
But, remarks that you were making just before the break are so true. Republicans and Democrats are guilty of this.
Right.
They don't want to stop spending money on their special projects for their districts back home, for their states back home.
That's not a good way to get reelected if you want to cut off your own spigot.
No. Huh? And, the next election is less than 2 years away.
Yeah. I think you can find savings in the federal government without having to impact a lot of the money that goes back from the federal government to the states. There's a lot of waste otherwise.
Yes.
I think one way to do it, if the education department, which is huge in Washington, if they were to say, we're giving this back to the states.
Yeah, we're going out of business.
We're going out of business.
Yeah, you can figure it out on your own in Delaware and Arkansas and California and everywhere else.
Go ahead. I think states should have more say in education. Obviously, a state is not going to raise up a generation of idiots if you're trying to lure a big company to come and build a factory or something in your state. A state will make sure that kids know how to read and write. You don't need somebody in Washington telling somebody in Tupelo, Mississippi, hey, you need to teach this, this, and this.
Well, another problem is a lot of the states get money from the federal government. Yes. Mm-hmm. And with that money from the federal government come strings attached.
Yeah. Yes.
And, again, this is you're talking about a big ball of yarn mm-hmm. that's about big as a basketball, and you're going to try to untangle mm-hmm. it. It's a big, big job to tackle, but Elon Musk.
Yep.
And they don't have any authority. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, they don't have any authority.
Nope.
They have the bully pulpit.
Yes.
And they can use it to speak to the American people and to Congress. I do think you know, we've heard the warnings over the years about if the United States federal government continues to go into deeper and deeper debt, that is $35 trillion now, that and no end in sight, when we're going to get a, quote, balanced budget, that will at some point down the road, that will have catastrophic, when the U.S. cannot pay its the interest, for example, on the debt, what happens then?
Yeah.
You know, what happens? That's uncharted territory.
Yes.
And some people say, well, that's going to look like the Great Depression,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Of the 20s. Massive tax hikes to try to do that.
Massive inflation.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that's what Venezuela, they just printed more money.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Look what happened to them.
Yeah, who corrects that? I think what saved us here in the U.S. is the fact that our dollar is the, what do you call it? The
world's currency.
Yeah, world reserve currency.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the dollar's kind of been treated different than, mm-hmm. it's had a better record than other
right.
currencies around the world.
Now, another thing, in
sound
addition to
smart
going,
right there. Doesn't that sound smart,
yeah.
Fred?
I tell you, you got your economic
go
theory
ahead.
There.
When Tim Waldman speaks,
yes,
people
yes.
listen. It's like this E.F. Hutton ads back in the day. But anyway, in addition to going after waste, fraud, and abuse, they have also, Elon Musk and Ramaswamy have both said in a Wall Street Journal op-ed, that they're going to really look at they're going to take a long, hard look at executive branch regulations and then go to Trump and say, look, we need to do away with this. It's ridiculous. It costs a lot of money. We have to employ people just to enforce these rules that we don't need. Therefore, yeah. we can get rid of the rules, get rid of the people.
All right. Well, we're getting to the point where this starts to bore me, this topic. We'll see what happens there.
Yes.
God bless Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy.
Yes.
Wish them the best.
Trying to help out our country, right?
Yes.
I do think particularly Elon Musk deserves a lot of credit for the election results.
Yes.
Because he saw the danger that was represented by Harris and Waltz and that wing, which is a big part of the Democrat Party today, where they wanted to go with basically – socialism/communism/Marxism, and it was very dangerous for our country. Had our country chosen her, I'm just telling you, for all her smiles and joy, campaign of joy and all that stuff,
yes,
it would have been a disaster. Absolutely. Worse than Biden.
Yes.
Worse than Biden. Because she's more of a – Biden was a traditional liberal over most of his career.
Yeah.
When he went into office as president – that's when his faculties begin to fade, and he didn't run the day-to-day operation in the White House. That was basically farmed out to the radicals,
yes,
who were in charge of these agencies,
who believe in big government.
Yes, yes, oh yeah, and the basically federal takeover of government. So, but Elon Musk saw the danger, and he decided he didn't have to. He could have just said, "Hey, I'm from South Africa. I'm not getting involved in – he's an American citizen, I'm saying, but he's originally from – I'm not getting involved in this. And it cost him, too, some. It didn't cost him, I don't think, financially. May have, but he wouldn't have felt it. He still made his house payment.
That's right.
Elon Musk did. So, but he put his he was he could have just been enjoying life and not gotten involved. But Elon Musk, to his credit, saw – the threat that was the radical left and said, you know, if you want to maintain freedom and liberty and your way of life in America, you've got to vote for President Trump. And he got out there and he started traveling the country with President Trump and speaking on TV and radio.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk did, again, when he didn't have to. I'm saying when he didn't have to. So to his credit, and I don't know where he is spiritually, but I just, when I hear him talk, I've heard him talk some about God.
Mm.
He has a reverence for Christianity. Probably was raised with some Christian influence, I'm guessing, in South Africa. So he's not hostile to the Christian faith. And, you know, pray that he would come to know the Lord.
Yes.
On a personal level.
Absolutely.
And give his life to Christ.
Amen.
Again, I don't know his heart. I just know listening to him talk, it just sounds like he's kind of on the verge.
Yeah. And for a man who has that much money.
Yeah.
He still comes off as kind of, I would describe, a regular guy.
He does. He's not condescending. He's not arrogant. That I've heard him speak. He just sounds like, He's obviously a genius.
Yes.
You know, in the things that he's been able to do in his life. What is he in his 40s?
I'll look
what
him up.
Yeah.
I mean,
relatively.
53.
Rockets and satellites and
my favorite company of his is the Boring Company, because he was like, it has to do with like drilling, but yeah, like yes he didn't no. care. Like, you know, somebody had to have leaned in and said, we got to call it somebody. No, call it the Boring Company. I don't care.
I know. And then Tesla.
Yes.
You know, the electric cars, just,
the satellites, you know, when the
I've only created one.
Oh, Starlink.
Satellite. Yeah. I've only created one satellite.
When the hurricanes caused all that problem in North Carolina, he tasked some of those satellites so people could communicate.
Yeah.
You know, he's that kind of guy.
It was exhausting. Just one satellite that I made. I can't imagine how many he made. You know what I'm saying? He runs circles around me. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Adam Suddeth, our producer/engineer for the show, has a troubled look on his face. Is Sandy on via phone or Comrex? Phone. Sandy Rios from Sandy Rios 24/7, the very popular podcast on American Family Radio's website. Sandy joins us via the telephone. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. It's not my fault, by the way. No.
You sound like you're in a closet. You need to get out of the closet. Are you on your cell phone?
No, we're home. I'm right at the. We're just having some problems with our connection. But no, I'm right here at my desk phone. Okay. But okay. And I want to know: are you naming your Starlink after yourself? Like you call it the Tim? Because you know how people name stars for themselves.
Well, that is that people. That sounds so arrogant to name a. you know, I didn't want to. You know what I'm saying?
What Tim Link?
Okay, Tim Link?
Tim Link.
Tim Link. You think Elon Musk is worried about that?
No. I have to be honest.
As a competitor?
No.
No. Hey, listen, I dare you. I wouldn't even know where would you even start? That's what amazes me. Somebody like Elon Musk, though, he knows where to start.
Well, you hire a bunch of people who know how to do things.
Well, I know, but he's also very intelligent in his own right.
In his own, yeah. He has the vision.
Yeah. So how are you doing, Sandy?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Tim. Just looking forward to Christmas and feeling really blessed by what's happening. Of course, as I said, I've said this at least on the air, that we know that it's going to be complicated and difficult. And there are going to be some times when things are not going to be all rosy. They can't be in Washington. It's all complicated.
Right.
So right now we have all these nominees having difficulty getting through the Senate. As I understand, there's a few senators who are bound and determined not to let Trump get his nominees through. And they can only lose a few, so it's kind of messy. But nevertheless, God has really, I think, heard our prayers to just give us some relief from the oppression that we were experiencing, the beginnings of it, under the Biden administration, and I'll be grateful for now. So that's how I am.
Yeah. All right, well, let me ask you this, Sandy. You have covered the the folks that are known as the J6ers, the January 6th. Those who are in jail in Washington, D.C. because of participation in January 6th. So can you tell me how many folks are in the Washington jail for this purpose, reason?
Well, right now, Tim, what they did was, I'm not sure how many are in the D.C.
Okay.
jail.
Okay.
They have sent them to all parts of the country, so they're spread all around. You know, they formed kind of a brotherhood in that jail.
Yes.
And were, you know, working together, praying together, trying to maintain contact through the wall, even though they were in solitary confinement. So they separated them. So they're all over the country now.
Okay.
We've actually some near us right now. I actually keep in touch with one through a listener, and he's being treated horribly.
Okay, so the person that can do something about this is Donald Trump. He can, day one of his presidency, just pardon all these people, which I think that's what he should do. That's my personal opinion. He should just pardon it and get it all behind us. Even whatever people may or may not have done, They certainly paid their price with what, 4 years in prison? Oh. Does that mean Sandy disagrees with that?
No, I'm here. I'm here. Moved to Comrex.
Oh, you moved to
Comrex. Can you hear me? Yeah, okay.
So what I'm saying, this is my opinion, is he just needs to, I know some people would say, no, he needs to take them on an individual case-by-case basis. Okay, whatever. I just think he needs to, January 6th, put it behind us. And so maybe clemency, but not pardon for some people who may have actually committed acts of violence against police officers or something of that nature. I don't know. But in other words, within a day to a week, get it all behind us. What do you think, Sandy?
I think so. I think as soon as he is sworn in, he should pardon them all. That's
pardon them all. You say just pardon them all.
Yes, okay. Because Tim, I'm not saying I know everything. It's not possible. It's just too many people and too many situations.
Right.
But from my perspective and what I'm hearing, most of those attacks on police officers, the most significant, are because the police actually turned on them and sent flashbangs, actually shot at the crowd when they were standing there peacefully. And a lot of these guys are military men, former policemen, patriots. There were bad actions. I've seen it on video.
Okay.
The police were not just Capitol Police. They were D.C. police. There were all kinds of people there. And they started firing on the crowd. And one of the black police women from D.C. beat Roseanne Boylan viciously. Roseanne Boylan was like a chubby gal who wore little ears on her head, Miss Cheerful. And she's on the ground, and this girl is beating her. So there were several guys around her who then they attacked the police, trying to get her off Roseanne. It happened to another lady in the in that surge tunnel that you may have seen pictures of.
Yeah.
So it's not as clean. It's just not clean. And look, some of these guys, Tim, I just got a picture of a guy who's still in solitary confinement. He has been it'll be 4 years in January.
Does he not have a trial?
No, these guys are held in pretrial detention. And the reason most of them, at least I know many of them, and I think most of them, the reason they're held that way is because they will not recant. They're requiring them to say that Joe Biden was the rightfully elected president, that there was no voter malfeasance in 2020, and some of them are refusing to do that. So they've been treated so badly, lack of medical care, horrible food, filth, solitary confinement. It is not no access to chaplains, their mail taken from them. I mean, it's horrible, Tim.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Well,
so Donald, they should be pardoned.
Day one, you're saying?
Yes.
Day one. Okay. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, Sandy, Fred here, do you think Donald Trump should hold his own investigation? Because there have been reports through the years that amongst the crowd that day were some spies, maybe from the FBI.
What are you talking about?
Yes.
Where are you talking about?
They were part of the crowd that went up to Capitol Hill.
Well, I would go further, Fred, and rather than call them spies, I would say they were instigators. They were the ones that, and I actually think we would find out, look, there's a lot of evidence for this stuff, that the FBI actually had a part in planning this event and sabotaging. Because I'll give you one obvious piece of evidence. As soon as the trouble on Capitol Hill started on January the 6th, around 1 o'clock, whatever it was in the afternoon, immediately the press all started using the same word. If you just trace it, they all say insurrection, insurrection, insurrection. No one just thought of that as an insurrection. There was even no weapon carried into the Capitol. The only gun that was fired was from the Capitol police officer who killed Ashley Babbitt. And that was an unjust shooting. That's another issue. But I'm telling you, it was a coordinated effort what I think they were trying to do was discredited Donald Trump. Now they wanted to discredit his supporters because they were the patriots. There's the ones that love the country enough to go show their support on that frigid, freezing day and stand out in that cold. They went there peacefully. There may have been a few people that wanted to do something bad, but I honestly, having been to a lot of Trump rallies, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I agree with you to a point. I don't want to argue about this and really listen, Sandy.
Yeah.
The part I disagree with you, that first rally, I'm all for you. I agree. That was a peaceful rally. President Trump's there. The second rally that was right up against the Capitol building, That's where your trouble started. And Trump told him to go down there. And then he said, I'm coming with you. And then he didn't show. And then all these people got pent-up emotions. And here they start going up to the Capitol. They're responsible for their own actions. I don't care how many FBI agents were there instigating them. This is my opinion. They shouldn't have been there. The rally was over at the where the president spoke. Go home. When you send a highly charged, emotional bunch of people somewhere and things get out of hand, you got problems. That's my opinion. So, but I agree. Let's pardon them and get it over with and get us behind us. It was a terrible day. Let me talk about the FBI for a minute. The federal is Bruce with you?
Yes, he is. He's okay. Right here next to me.
Okay.
Good morning,
Bruce.
Tim.
Hi. How you doing, brother?
Real good. Thank you.
Okay.
Good
so, Bruce, you've been on with Sandy. You know Sandy well. There.
right. Well, I'm right. Keeping some yeah. things. Yeah. I got some things he doesn't know about.
Okay. Y'all have had lunch a few times. So you work for the FBI how many years?
24 years.
24 years and all over the country, right?
Yes. I was in small offices, big offices, and at headquarters.
Okay, so the FBI has, we've talked about this before, had a stellar reputation among the American people for most of its existence. I don't know when it became in existence. Do you know?
In the 20s.
Okay.
It was called the Federal Bureau of, or the Bureau of Investigation.
I mean, TV shows. Still got a TV show today called FBI. I mean, yeah, everybody reveres the FBI. But the image has been tarnished over the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years in particular, and you watched it happen, and the tarnishing of the image has been just because yes. The FBI has been weaponized, and there's evidence of that. We could that's been well documented. Sandy's done a lot of this. You've talked about it. So what do you think? I guess what I'm saying is, do you think there's a chance now to get the FBI back in order and back doing the job that there's really I'm not saying they weren't doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. They were doing extracurricular activities that were against a particular people, like conservatives and Christians, namely, and pro-lifers. What do you think is going to happen now with President Trump coming in and naming Kash Patel? That's the gentleman's name?
Correct.
Yes.
He's going to be, if he's confirmed, the new FBI director. Give us your thoughts on all this.
Well, this is going to be a heavy lift. I can tell you that the FBI is one of those organizations that is very difficult to get moving in a different direction. It's kind of a, you grow up in the culture of the FBI, and it's very difficult to get people to change. I will say this, though. I really think bringing someone that is completely from the outside, like Kash Patel, is a very good move. Because I've been frustrated by fellow agents I know that are retired that say, oh, we should have hired Mike Rogers for that job because he's been in the Bureau and he knows what it's all about. Well, to me, that's the exact problem, is everyone that's gone there has been a part of the system, whether it be Robert Mueller, Christopher Wray, James Comey. They've all been in the Department of Justice for much of their life.
So
they're company
speak.
Men. Yeah, gotcha. And they have lots of allegiances. They owe... I would just say debts of gratitude to certain people. And all of a sudden, if you're going to come in and cut the legs out from people, you can't do it when you have those kind of personal relationships. You have to be unattached to them. And I think Kash has shown when he worked with Devin Nunes that he is not afraid. He will take on the bureaucracy. He will take on whomever he needs to. And one of the big problems we're going to have here, Tim, is that the deep-rooted problems go much deeper than just the upper management of the FBI. I know a lot of people say, well, if we could just get rid of Director Wray and a few of his lieutenants, we'll be fine. That is not true. And I can tell you from personal experience as a polygraph examiner who did applicants to the FBI, under Obama, the standards got lowered. And when I would have these people in to polygraph them to see if they would get a security clearance, you would talk to them about criminal behavior, about their idea of what truth is. And I would be astounded because I would have people tell me, well, there's your truth and there's my truth. There's really no true truth.
Wow.
And you're thinking, you know, this is your job interview, kiddo. And you're talking like this. I mean,
right.
It astounded me. And Obama lowered the standards. All of a sudden, certain drug use was allowable in your past. Certain criminal behavior in your past was allowed. Lack of what I would call credible work experience and school experience. And you know what? Those people now are approaching 18, 20 years into their career, a lot of them. And so they are in the middle to upper management now. And that's the people that are going to have to be addressed, not just the people on the top floors.
You know, Bruce, Fred here, the whistleblowers that have come forward talking about what's going on inside. I heard an interview with a former FBI agent this past week. I think she's in Florida now. Fox has her on quite a bit. I just forget her name at the moment. She says basically there are still an A team within the FBI, good solid agents, and the ones I think that you're talking about, the B team. And, you know, Kash Patel has got a big job in trying to iron out who's on what team.
Absolutely. And because we do appraisals of people's performance, and we have grade inflation is what I would call it within the FBI, where we rate people highly even if they don't deserve it, it's going to be tough to turn around and try to fire someone when they hand up their performance appraisals and say, look, I've been rated great for 5 years in a row.
Yeah.
Hey, Sandy and Bruce, can you hold on through the break? Because there's other stuff I want to talk
about.
Do
we have time for lunch? Yeah, okay. Bruce, I think.
Hey, just get some.
I think we can.
Just get some cheese and crackers out of the fridge.
Okay. Order out.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be back in 5 minutes with more.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.